As I was saying, the book of Malachim, it begins where Shmuel left off chronologically, but it's really a very different book. Because Malachim is a chronology not of one specific king, not of David HaMelech, which was the Shmuel as the end of Shmuel, or most of Shmuel as we learned, but it's really the book of the chronology of the monarchy of the Jewish people, and in many, many ways, the tragic monarchy of the Jewish people. The vast majority of Malachim is tragedy, is terrible things happening to the Jewish people, at least spiritually, because of the choices that we make. And there's a lot to be learned, just like there was a lot to be learned from Shmuel and from the failures and successes of David HaMelech, so too there's a tremendous amount for us to learn from Malachim, especially even in our days. So today we're going to discuss the topic of successful succession. Right? How do you choose a successor? How do you decide who the successor is going to be? And how do you make sure that the successor is the person you want it to be? Okay? So as we all know. So we'll read through the Navi. It's a very long parak. I really, really hope to get through a parak a week, because I want to move at a decent clip. And that way we'll feel not only that we're learning something, that we're covering ground. The only question will be, when we get to the Beis HaMikdash, there's a number of parakim that describe the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll have to decide if you want to do it or sort of go through it outside and cover it. Probably some people might want to do it. Maybe I'll see if I can find online some models so that we can be able to see what we're talking about, not just
read it.
That's what we have on the Mishkan. David was old. Baba Yamim. What is Baba Yamim? Right. Now, anybody know where else that phrase Zakein Baba Yamim appears? Right. Very good. Avraham Zakein Baba Yamim. What's the next rest of the pasuk? Draw on. Avraham Zakein Baba Yamim.
By
Hashem et Berach et Avraham Makol. Right. So. That, in the context of Abraham, it's a very complimentary thing. Is this everybody? Did anybody not fill it out who wants one? Okay, good. Hashem berachet Abraham bakol. But here, what happened to David when he zakein ba bayamim, vayichusu ba begadim, v'lo yichamlo. No matter how many much clothing he put on, he still couldn't get warm. Okay, which is a malady. It's an affliction. Just for whatever reason, I was talking to a gentleman. We were between Minchana. We were having discussion about an ailment that many men suffer from, and he said, you know, when you get older, you know, that when you say Al Tashlicheni La'ez Zikna, right? When you say that on the Yamin Naraim on the high holidays, it's meaningful, because you get older, you can't do the things that you used to do. So David HaMelech, one gets the sense that he had a sense of vigor and energy, and then for whatever reason, and we see this a lot with elderly people, they suffer a setback, some kind of event takes place, and then they're just not the same person. You know, that something happened, and even though physically they might be the same, they just can't do it the same way they used to do it. And that's clearly what happened to David HaMelech. So he can't get warm. Now the Mefarshim want to know, why in the world was it that David couldn't get warm? Because nothing happens in a vacuum. Why was it that he couldn't get warm? So I brought for you two midrashim. You see source number one? Yeah, I'm really there. There's sheets. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Vayechuzu b'begadim v'lo yichamlo, source number one. K'tiv. Vayakam David vayichrot et kenaf ha'me'il asher l'sha'ol balat. Remember, David's running away from Sha'ol. Right? And Shaul's convinced that David was against him. So how does David try to convince Shaul, the King Saul, that he's not against him?
He only cuts his clothing.
Right?
While he was so there, and showed that he was there, but he didn't do anything.
Right, see, I cut off the very good. I cut off the corner of the garment to show that I could have killed you, but I didn't. Says Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Call him mevaze as habagadim. Anyone who desecrates clothing, l'sof eino nehenem mehem. He won't get benefit from them. Shemar, as it says, Hamelech David Zaken. So that's a very famous midrash. Rashi quotes that midrash. That he desecrated clothing, seemingly necessarily, but I don't know, right? Right? And because of that...
But we do it when we're mourning the creep.
But that's where we call ourselves our own.
Someone else cuts it up.
But you
tear
it yourself.
You tear it yourself.
Tear it yourself, but I guess...
But you're still cutting it close.
We don't wear it again.
What in the world do you do with a midrash like that? What would he be trying to say?
Would it have been better if he killed him?
I don't know.
Would it have been more?
Figure out another way. Now, clearly...
Left is nice.
No, I think that right, definitely did the right thing. You have to sort of take the midrash and remove it from the situation. And say, what's the situation of Mevaze Es HaBegadim? One who denigrates clothing.
And this means all clothing, not specific clothing.
Any clothing, right. And for some reason, whatever, he felt the need to make this statement about people, for whatever reason, I guess, were denigrating their clothing in some way. We're making them unusable. I really don't know, because otherwise, like, why would David be punished? So let's look at the next midrash.
In those days, they didn't have a whole lot of clothing.
What?
In those days, they didn't have a whole lot of clothing.
A whole lot. They had one. And if you were lucky, you had something for Shabbos.
So that's what I'm saying. So to do that to your clothes... That was definitely denigrating. It was a waste of your clothing.
Right, I would agree. Okay, fine. I'm not entirely sure what the answer is. It's just a very strange midrash. But just know that this is a very famous Rashi. Why David, Rashi quotes it. Why was David not able to get warm? Because he denigrated Shaul's clothing. Next. What happened? So, remember, we learned the last chapter. This is from another midrash. Skip the parentheses. Vayisa David et Einav. David lifted up his eyes. Vayar et Malach Hashem. He saw the angel of God. V'charbos lufa biyado nituya Yerushalayim. Remember, God sent this great plague against the Jewish people because David counted the nation and he had sinned. And you could literally see the angel of death descending on the city of Yerushalayim to destroy it because of what he had done. Vayipol David v'azakeini mechasim v'sakim upon him. They just fell on their faces. They just fell. It says in the midrash, "Ba'otah sha'ah, yarad malach mishmei maram." At that moment, that the angel was coming down, kevan shira'a David charbo shalmalach hamavet. When the David saw the sword of the angel of death, "Ba'otah sha'ah," at that moment, nichnas bo retet, he began to tremble. V'shuv lo haya ba'koach v'chaminut, and from then on, he didn't have any strength. And no warmth. He was just shaking. The event was so, and that, by the way, makes a little more sense to us. So jarring, so scary, so frightening. It just drained him. It took all of the energy out of him. And after that, he was just a changed person. He almost, you'll see, he was bedridden after this. That was the end.
But wasn't there, I don't know if it's a major issue or whatever, that someone was supposed to live to 1,000.
Yeah.
But they heard that.
Adam.
Adam, and he gave up 70 years so that David knew it. And there was a thing that if you're studying, you don't die. You miss right. So he tries. So he knew he was going to die.
Interesting.
I don't know what to do with that midrash.
Okay.
Because the midrash asks,
what comes
why? An original life, Adam was supposed to live how long?
1,000 years.
How long does he live?
930 years.
So how come 930? So the midrash says that when Adam Rishon was born, the Rabban Shalom showed him the whole history. Right now you could envision it because he just pulled out a video and pulled out a DVD player. Very easy to see, right? You know, way back when in the midrash they couldn't envision. Oh, very nice. So Adam is watching, and he sees for some reason the midrash doesn't make sense because then David would have been a baby born at stillborn.
Right.
So why would that have been significant?
Because he knew he was supposed to become the king.
How?
That was
it's in the video.
So what's the point of that midrash? The midrash is trying to tell you that that David HaMelech was destined from the time of Bereishis to lead the Jewish people, to unite the Jewish people. He was that great. But other than that, I believe that David knew exactly when he was going to die.
Yeah, there's a midrash about that too, about how he was constantly studying so that he
right.
Right.
Right, but the Midrash says then that he tried to prevent the angel of death. He knew it was going to be a Shabbos in the 70th year. So the Midrash says that he learned all Shabbos, because even the Baruch HaMavis can't get you if you're learning.
Right.
So he would learn all day Shabbos until the Baruch HaMavis. You know what he did? Do you know what he did in the end? He distracted him. Right, he made some noise. You heard the Midrash?
Hmm?
You've heard the Midrash? It's also in my Story of King David book. Great book.
So okay. So we're okay.
What do you mean?
Right now.
Oh, because we're learning?
No, it's on Shabbos.
Can I tell you a story? No, it's for him it was on Shabbos. I had a teacher in Shal Avim who used to go to Yerushalayim. Yeah. Used to go to Yerushalayim and give a class on Parsha. So every week there would be an elderly gentleman that would come in. Promptly, as soon as the shiur began, he would fall asleep. And as soon as the shiur was over, he'd wake up, and thank you very much, and go home. And this would happen week in and week out and week in and week out. So finally, one week, he got up the gumption and to say to him, you know, sir, it's fine with me. You're tired, I understand. But I don't understand. One, you, as soon as you come in, you fall asleep. As soon as the shiur is over, you get up and you leave. You don't get one word of the shiur, so why are you coming? What are you bother coming for? Why not just, if you're tired, lie down on the couch and go to sleep in your own house? What are you coming for? He says, listen, I'm not a learned man. But one day, someday soon, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to call me after the Kisei HaKavod. And when he calls me there, he's going to say, Nu, where are you coming from? So I hope to be able to tell him, oh, I'm coming from the shiur. True story. Anyway.
Oh my.
Okay, so that's well, why could David not get any warmth? He had, we can understand this, the event that happened, A, he was responsible, it was his mistake, his error, and when you see the Malach HaMavis is bearing down on your city to destroy it, and you fall on your face, all hope is lost. That's such a jarring, powerful, shaking feeling. He was just not able to recover from it. He was trembling. Almost he was cold. He had the shivers that never left him. And we see that, as I said before, that there are sometimes events, unique events in a person's life, that you just don't recover from it. And it was, you know, he was going great, 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 and usually when you find a person has an event down here, and then, you know, they kind of, yeah, peter out. Vayamru lo avadav, so a servant said, Yivakshu la'ad, the pasuk bet, Yivakshu, I'm the second pasuk, Yivakshu la'ad, Adoni HaMelech, Na'arba betulah. Let's find a girl, the Amdali Shmei HaMelech, she will stand before the king, Utihilo Sochenet, and she should be a
cover.
A cover.
A companion.
Yeah.
A cover and cover.
B'shachva b'chekeka, she will lie in your lap. V'cham la'adoni ha'melech. I mean, clothing, blankets upon blankets don't work. So we'll get you, no electric blankets back then. So we'll get you the next best thing. We'll get you a companion. Yeah, go ahead, Adina.
Very strange.
Well, what would you prescribe?
A couple of cats. A couple of drinks.
Not a young maiden.
An old maiden?
No. Not at will.
But how? Why can't you take a pot of, you know, like a coals and they did that? They put them into a mitzvah.
I guess it didn't work. I guess it didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is very far-fetched. I mean, it seems very far-fetched.
She has to be a virgin.
Yes. Well, that's clear. Why?
I don't know why.
Why would you have to be a virgin?
Because he's the king?
Right, it would be inappropriate for the king to have someone else's former wife or widow or divorcee.
Like Bathsheba?
What? A good question.
Yeah.
Okay. So it seems, it's interesting. It's the king of Israel we're talking about.
Did he marry her?
Not your friend. No, he did not. Why couldn't he?
He had enough concubines.
Right. You're ahead of yourself. He had too many wives.
Sorry,
you mean ahead?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I see that. Oh, it's good. It's good. Okay. David had too many wives. We'll see in a second. So on some level, it seems, like you said, it seems unseemly. But on another level, we'll see that David took an unseemly situation and elevated it. We'll see in a minute. Okay, the Gemara, so the Pasuk Gimel, Vayivakshu Narai Afa, B'chol Glu Yisrael, they searched out for a beautiful girl, right? Vayim Se'uet Abishag HaShunamit, they found this girl, Abishag HaShunamit, Vayaviru Ota Lamelech, and they brought her to the king. Okay, so what does this sound like? There's another parallel here between this text and another text in Tanakh. It should remind you of something. What's that?
Esther.
Right, but not Esther. When they right, who was doing the search in the times of Esther? Ahasuerus was searching for a new wife. Okay. What was the first criteria that he wanted?
Beauty.
She has to be the most beautiful girl in the land, and she had to be a virgin. Okay. Good. Now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that when they looked for a wife for Abishag. The Gemara says the following. And we're going to come back to Abishag in a second, in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha says, Iyo b'nei Achashverosh ha'i. Iyo lived in the time of Achashverosh. Okay. I'm looking for the right midrash.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
If he had so many wives, why didn't they just bring him one of his own wives?
They
I'm sure they weren't all old and
decrepit. They were his wives.
They were his wives.
I think they wanted someone young and warm.
Someone new.
So young and warm.
Okay.
What does it suggest? Okay. There says. One second. When David did, they looked for a Na'ara for David. The Gemara says, and the Midrash says, everybody who had a daughter, when David was looking for an assistant, what do you think they did with the daughters? They brought them.
They brought them
to David? They brought them. Yes, it was great kavod. It was a great honor. Okay? But it says, right? When Achashverosh came along, he did the same thing. Anyone who had a daughter, hid that daughter away. And as I says that when they happened to know about Esther, the people knew about Esther, and that's why they sort of caught her. Yeah, how did Ahasuerus, by the way, conduct his beauty contest? Anybody know? Anyone remember? Ahasuerus had to pick a wife. How did he decide who he liked the best?
One per night.
One at a time. He tried them all. Okay, as opposed to David HaMelech, what did he do?
None.
Okay, Abishag was very, very beautiful. Okay, she was a how did he translate sochenet?
It translated warmer.
A warmer, right? Or an assistant?
This is how it was advertised. We're looking for a beautiful warmer.
The king is ill.
Hear ye, you know.
Yeah, the king is ill. We're looking for someone who will assist the king. And they think about it in medical terms. Now, he's old. He's sick.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Is there? You know, you can give somebody a massage and be physical therapy. You give somebody a massage in an appropriate way. It depends on how you look at it and what kind of massage it is. All right, so.
You know about such things? No.
I've heard.
Oh.
Okay. Batishartehu. And she served him. V'hamelech lo yida'ah.
Didn't know her.
Know her in what sense?
In
the biblical sense, right? The king did not engage in relations with her.
In the biblical sense.
In the biblical sense. Now the Gemara goes off and says, why did the king not live with her? No, the Gemara explains. Rashi says he did it because he didn't want what? Oh, well, her life is done anyway. In a sense, we're going to see what happens with her in the future, right? Because the girl who serves the king, while it's a great honor for her, then she's. You know, sort of, how should we say this? Hectish, not tainted, the opposite. She's too good for anybody else, right? It's inappropriate for anyone else to get this girl. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole discussion between David and Bathsheba. So the Gemara says something very interesting. That it says when the Bathsheba comes into David, David didn't live with her. So the Gemara says, well, Bathsheba came and says, well, the only reason why, he says, you know, why don't you take her for a wife? That Avishad says, Amrav, she said, Ninsavan, marry me. I'm serving you, but you should marry me. Amravah, he said to her, Ashiratli. I'm not allowed to. Asher. Why? Because he already married 18 wives. Well, so since he had 18 wives, he couldn't take her as a wife. Amralei, so Avishag said, Chasra leganva nafshe lishlama nakat. He says, when a thief no longer has the energy to climb into the window, he says, you know, I'm retired. Meaning what?
Sour grapes.
What?
No, he said no.
Sour grapes, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, I can't.
It
what?
It would take a man to know that.
Amar the who?
You're fine.
Since she says you're weak, you can't do it. That's why. Kuli the Batsheva. Go call Batsheva. And David engages in relations with Batsheva just to show that he's not incapable. Okay? So then, so the Gemara says, so then why in the world?
Batsheva.
What? That matter.
Almost the same age as him.
Maybe. Who knows? But I think what the point of the Gemara is trying to tell you is that David, his one great, great failure was in the area of women, right? Of Batsheva. And so, almost at the end of his life, he's given an opportunity to sort of make amends, and almost in the most difficult way, that he's still very virile, in a sense, but nonetheless, he has to make the choice to abstain. That you have the girl literally in your bed, but she's usher. So you know what? She's usher, and she's usher. Nothing to do. Yeah.
What rule is he living in?
The Torah.
The Torah says
Lo Yarbe Lo Nashim, 18 wives. No more. No more.
Where do you get 18 from?
That's high.
It's a good number.
That's the Torah about that. 18 wives. Okay. Fine. So that's the story of Avishag. Let's put Avishag to the side. We're going to come back to Avishag a little bit later, because she's going to play an important role next week. From Shunam. Yeah. Okay. Va'adoniah ben Chagit. Adoniah is the son of Chagit, but he's also the son of... Anybody know? Who's his father?
David's father?
Who's Adoniah's father? David, correct. Right. Adoniah ben Chagit is also the son of David. So David has the same name, Adoniah. Mitnashe leimor. Ani amloch. So he decides, I'm going to be king. New topic. Who's going to be the next king? What happens to David? David is the king. Everybody loves the king. Everything's going great. David gets old. Soon as David gets old, what's the new topic of discussion?
Who's
next to mine? Now we know the end of the story. But now in the middle of the story, Adoniah says, you know what? I'm next to mine. And so he made for himself a chariot, parashim, horses, 50 runners. And what was the job of the runners?
Here comes the king.
Just say, here comes the king.
Make way for Prince Ali, right? Now, by the way, is that the way to make yourself king?
No. If you've got enough men running ahead of you.
What?
If you've got enough of a force, you become king.
Yeah.
A lot of people take over that way.
That's not force.
No. Even in numbers. Don't we elect by numbers? If you've got one more than the majority, you're king.
Unless you have an electoral college.
You know,
democracy. No, I'm talking. If more than half the country wants you as king, more than half the country wants you as king.
Also, if you say something often enough, people say, just that. If somebody's coming by and saying, here comes the king, and there's no other news, I mean, that's the way, I guess, people would hear the news. Oh, somebody's coming, he's the king. Oh, well, they don't have any choice.
Who's supposed to be king?
Solomon.
How do you know?
My Shlomo.
How do you know? When?
Oh, don't ask me that.
We saw the coming.
I only read ahead a little.
On video. We saw the coming attractions on the video.
Oh, so you know someone's supposed to be the king.
Right. Read that book. I mean, how did they appoint... So first the king was Shaul, then it became David. So it had nothing to do with Shaul's progenitor, you know, with his sons.
What happened to his sons?
Well, they were killed.
Right.
Okay, so
not all of them. The last one left. What happened to the one that was left? Remember, there was a whole debate about whether David should be king or not.
Samuel made David the king.
Okay, who's been anointed as the king now? Who's anointed as successor?
There hasn't been.
What happens when you don't appoint a successor and you die?
There's a problem.
Which makes one wonder, by the way, why the Rebbe never chose his successor explicitly. Look at now, forget Lubavitch. But we don't hear about it. Shatner. Terrible. It was terrible.
And there
were two brothers, and the brothers don't talk to each other, and I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge.
But one of them was appointed, wasn't it? Didn't the father say the younger, not the older son?
I don't know.
Anyway,
right, this will versus that will.
Right. So do we know that if there's been a will, has David appointed anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sarah was his favorite wife.
Right.
So
his son. Turn to page 2.
Have a son.
Turn to your second page. This is from Divrei Hayamim. Right? Divrei Hayamim is the parallel text corresponding to Malachim and most of Shmuel and Malachim. So it's almost everything. This is the very young in Perakabet. Vayomer David, see where I am, verse 5? Mm-hmm. Talmud calls in his son Shlomo. Shlomo b'di, nar barach. He's young, he's soft. V'habayit livno l'Hashem. We've got to build a house to God. L'habdil l'ma'ala l'Hashem l'titar l'chol ha'atzot. Achina nala, I have to prepare him. Vayachin David l'rov l'ifnei motel. David provided abundant materials before his death. Meaning, why didn't David build the Beis HaMikdash? He wasn't allowed. The reason he did not build the Beis HaMikdash is he was prevented from it. God told him not to do it. But he said, he told me I can't build.
But I can give you the
book. But I can donate. I can prepare. Right, so all the materials sitting there waiting, ready to go. It's very, very meaningful. Fine. Vayikra l'shlomo b'no. And he called his son Shlomo, Pasuk Vav. And he commanded him to build the Beis HaMikdash. Vayomer David b'Shlomo, Bini, my son, ani hayayim levavi livnot bayit Hashem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Said, I really wanted to build the house to Hashem. Pasuk Chet. Vayi alai levar Hashem leimor. But God came to me and said, Tam larov shafachta u'melchamot gedolot asita. You have spilled much blood. You have waged many wars. Lo tivne bayit lishmi. You can't build my house. Why? Ki damim rabim shafachta arca lefanai. Isn't that, and it's almost like, it's like so ironic. Why did David spill blood before God?
To conquer the land that God told him.
He had to do his people in service of God. And what's the thing that prevents him from building the Beis HaMikdash?
Because he followed the rules.
It's not fair. I mean, what's fair? Meaning, he is supposed, on the one hand, yes, I did it God's will, but that does transform him to a person that's not appropriate to build a Beis HaMikdash. Yes.
Didn't you mention that if he would have built it, then Hashem couldn't have been able to
build it? No, that's Moshe.
That was Moshe.
Okay. Pasuk Tesh. And here comes the important part. Hine ben nolad lach. You will have a son. Hu yihye ish minucha. He shall be a man of rest, peace. And I will give him respite from all of his enemies. Ki Shlomo yihyeh Shemo. His name will be Shlomo. V'shalom v'sheket etein al Yisrael b'yamav. And he will have quiet and peace in his day. Hu yivneh bayit lishmi. V'hu yihyeh li levend v'ani lo la'av. He will build a house for me, and I will be from your son, I'll be from a father. V'achinoti kisei malchuto al Yisrael ad olam. And I shall prepare for him a seat for Jewish people forever. Atabini, now my son. Yihi Hashem imach, be with God with you. V'hitzlachta, you should be matzliach, successful. Uvanita beit Hashem alokecha kasher diber alecha. And you shall build God's house. Ah, let's just finish the verses. Item lach Hashem seichel ubina vaitavcha Yisrael. V'lishmur atarat Hashem alokecha. He says, but do me a favor, use your seichel and keep the Torah. Az tatzliach, then you will succeed. Im tishmur la'asot et ha'chukim et ha'mishpatim. Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe Yisrael. Chazak v'emats al tziva be'altecha. That's a good pet speech, right?
Yep.
Right, good. Who's going to be the king of Israel? Who said?
Hashem.
How long ago? What do you mean when he was born?
Before
he was born. When David wanted to build the base, I mean, he said, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Shlomo. His name will be Shlomo. He's going to be a man of peace. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be the next king of Israel.
But,
I don't know. That's something that my wife would know. Ask her.
Okay. But if David had had sons, how did he know which one to name Shlomo?
Ah, okay. That's a great question. He named one of these sons Shlomo.
How did he know which one?
Which one did he name Shlomo?
From Bathsheba.
Good. And we're going to see that in a minute. Very good. But once he named Shlomo,
That was done.
So what? How could Adoniah get up and say, Ani Amloch al Yisrael, you know what? I think I'd like to be king of Israel.
I'll change my name to Shlomo.
But was it known? Ooh. Well known that Shlomo was supposed to be?
Or? What's the answer to that question?
Not that way. I don't know.
I would think yes. Or he didn't care.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have to get up and proclaim himself. Or he was the older son and decided it should really go.
Against the wishes of his father. You get a sense. What?
Yosef all over again.
Why?
Because Yosef was the favorite son, and he was bragging. And look what happened to him when he started bragging and carrying on.
Yeah.
That's the lesson he learned. I better keep it quiet.
What quiet?
He was a quiet kind of person.
He says here he was a quiet person.
Tell him he's very peaceful. Mm-hmm. I believe it's unclear, but I believe that David never told anyone anything.
Well, he told Bathsheba.
Oh, okay, good. He did, and we'll see that he did. But other than that, who else did he? Who else knew?
Shlomo, Hashem.
God knew. Who else?
Shlomo himself.
Well, Shlomo, not clear.
Nathan.
No. Well, Nathan said Nathan, right? Nathan the Navi. How did Nathan know?
I assume that David told him.
No, the prophecy was through him. He was the prophecy.
Excuse me.
Right, so that he knew. So why didn't David tell anybody? Why does he leave an opening for Adoniah to pipe up and say, I will be the king of Israel?
Maybe he was afraid for Shlomo's life.
Ooh. Let's see.
While he was still too young to defend him.
Pasuk Hey. Very good. Maybe. It's possible. Why did Adoniah hire these chariot guys and think he'll be the king of Israel? Because his father never stopped him, held him back, saying, what are you doing, Adoniah? Cut it out! He was also very good looking, and he oto yalda acharei Absalom. It's very interesting. Was he the brother of Absalom?
Shlomo?
No. Adoniah. Was he the brother?
Yeah.
By whom? No.
Okay.
Absalom was not the son of Chagit. He was only the half brother from David. So what does it mean that he was born after Absalom? The Midrash says he was like Absalom. He wanted to take. He assumed that the malchus, that the kingship was coming to him. He assumed that it was something that he deserved. Okay? Now, I just have to say, look at source number two. Look at the midrash in source number two. Below atzavo avi miyamam menuar madu akacha asita. Steve, it says, tov ka'as mishchok. Anger is better than laughter. Ki beroa panim yitav lev. Because in roa panim, evil faces, negative faces, yitav lev, hearts will be improved. Amar Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo says, Ilu ka'as abba al Adoniah kimat. If dad had gotten just a little bit angry at Adoniah, tov hayalo, it would have been better for him. Why? Yitzchok shesach talav mizus adin. Lama? Ki v'ruah panim yitav leiv. Ilu hara lo panim havi ala mutav. Meaning what? Why does Adoniah assume that the monarchy is coming to him? Because David gave him everything he always wanted. He never told him no. He never held him back. Yeah, spare the rod, spoil the child. Right? David lo atzavo. His father never aggrieved him. Right? It's sort of related to what I spoke about on Shabbos. If parents who don't want to aggrieve their children are doing the exact opposite of what they intend to do. Why? Because when a child gets everything he wants, then he assumes everything in life is coming to him, as opposed to having to earn it. Okay.
Question?
Yeah.
Why does it have to talk again? I mean, it seems to be a theme always. Gan Hu Tov Toar. Why does that need to be described?
Oh, good.
It was also good luck.
Why is that important? Well, I just want to do one more. No, I want to do one more midrash, then we'll get back there. Below Atzavo Aviv, keep next midrash. Choshech Shivto, Sone Beno. Spare the lion. Yeah. So Nabino, you hate your child.
Yeah, that's strong.
The Lamdecha to teach you. Shekala Moneh Bino Min Hamargut Sof Ba LeTarbut Ra'a. If you hold back the rod or the punishment or whatever you want to call it, that child will end up bad. And that's the absolute truth. You know, it's interesting. I was once at Mr. Middleman. We were driving to a funeral. So he was telling me a story about how he decided one day he wanted to go swimming. I was going to tell the story on Shabbos, but I decided it would have detracted from my point. So he tells the guys, yeah, let's go swimming. Because the Rebbe was like a cousin of his. So all the guys said, we can't go. He said, no, I'll take care of it. I'll clear it with the Rebbe. I'm in with him. You know, you could see Manny doing that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they come back and they're all wet. And the Rebbe's like, where were you? He said, we were swimming. We went swimming. It's dangerous to swim in the river without an adult. So what do you mean go swimming? So he said, Amela said we could do it. So he said he took his stick and he hit him over the head and gave him a welt, a huge welt. So anyway, whether that's right or not is a discussion for another day. I said, what did your father do when you got home with a huge welt on your head? He said, if the Rebbe had a reason to hit me, my father had a reason to hit me again. Right. So can you imagine what would happen today if your kid came home with a welt on his head? That's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. What?
My father did the same thing to my brother.
Right.
My brother A.
Yeah.
He came home from the yeshiva, and he said the Rebbe threw him on the radiator.
On the radiator.
So my father said, well, he says, well, I guess I aggravated him. So my father took, you know what a pasuk is?
No.
It's his belt.
Yeah.
And he gave my brother a lick. You aggravated the brother.
Yeah, I honestly don't think that beating a kid over the head is the answer. There is a moderate position somewhere in between. But I think today we live in an extreme world where I'm sort of struggling with this. You can't not only lay a loving hand on a child for fear of being accused of acting inappropriately. And how you have a relationship with, you know what I'm saying? It's very difficult. I think we're going the other way a little too far. A little bit too far. Okay, a lot too far. Anyway, so David did not just win Adoniyahu. So what happened to Adoniyahu? I want to be the king. And you ask me, who gam tov toar ma'od? What does it mean? Why does it say that he's very good looking? Anybody want to guess?
People would like him.
Right, Absalom also. Well, one of the things that's important is that a person has to be attractive. You know, you notice in of all the presidential candidates, how many of them, you know, are balding and overweight?
And they're what? Haircuts.
Four of them.
And they're
Thompson's bald.
Oh yeah,
bald and overweight.
Well, he's lost the weight.
Yeah, but he's got a gorgeous girlfriend now, Joe.
His wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. What?
Had to be pleasant to look at.
Right, but he probably just needed to take a shower, right? You know, I'm right. The Navi also has. I mean, because if you represent God. But also, people are attracted to you. Like you said, you want people to be attracted to you. You have to be attracted. Nowadays, you've got to see the pictures of these guys. Yeah. They have long beards. And in today's day and age, in the media and time in which we live, never. Okay.
A disproportionate number of our presidents have been tall, good-looking, and oldest sons.
Well, wasn't it the reason that Nixon lost the debate?
Because he wasn't shaved.
Because he had a 5 o'clock shadow.
Did he really?
He was sweating during the whole debate.
Yes, the debate.
He was sweating.
And he had a 5 o'clock shadow.
Unbelievable.
You didn't know that? And he wore a white shirt and it came up.
See, that's the only thing that scares me, that Thompson's going to win because he's an actor. He knows how to. He's an actor. He knows how to act. Okay, Zion. Vayud v'rav im Yoav ben Tzruya. He went to Yoav ben Tzruya be Abiatar Hakohen. Vayazru acharei Adoniah. So now he didn't just have a delegation. What does he do? He starts to create political contact. Now let's just remember who we're talking about. Who is Yoav ben Tzruya?
Could be a general.
What?
Is he the David's assistant?
The
second in command, Yoav?
Yoav, don't you remember who he's the general? What? Yoav is great, except what did Yoav do that he was not supposed to do, that David told him explicitly not to do?
To
kill someone. Come on! And he did it anyway. And he said, I'm right, and I'm doing it anyway. What did Yoav do?
Rest in
peace, the best. Didn't Yoav kill Absalom?
No, he did.
What?
With his hair.
Right. And then remember when David pointed somebody else ahead of him, what did Yoav do to that guy?
Got rid of him.
Is that ringing a bell?
Yeah.
From the Shmuel class? Right. So Yoav, he's a loyal servant of David, but you know what I'm saying? A little bit shady character. Avyatar HaKohen, okay? The Rashi says that Avyatar also was kicked out of the kahuna. When David left because of Absalom, Avyatar was kicked out of the kahuna. And it says, V'yada shelo yishamesh b'yimei Shlomo. He knew that if Shlomo became the king, he would never get to be the Kohen. So you've got all these guys that are sort of, how should we say this, aligning themselves together to form a coalition of the anti-Solomonites. Right? And why do they want Adoniah? Right, so somebody new that they can latch onto and sort of control. You always want somebody you can latch onto. Tet vayizvach Adoniyahu tzon ubakar umri im evan azochel adasher ito im rogel. Right, that tzon, I skipped it, I didn't get the chet. B'shini v'reiya kibarim ashele David. Natan HaNavi b'shini v'reiya gomarim ashele David lo yum Adoniyahu. But Natan HaNavi and Shimi and Rei, they were not with Adoniyahu. So you see there's two factions, right? The pro-Adoniyahu faction and the not-pro-Adoniyahu faction. So Adoniyahu makes a party. He's battling in Sotah Bakar and Maria Adoniyahu. He slaughtered sheep and cattle. What's Marie? And what? Sheep and cattle. What's Marie? What's the third thing?
Fatlings.
Okay. He called all of his brothers and sons of the king. He calls all the servants of the king, except Natan Hanavi, Ubenayahu, Ben Hagiborim, Ben Shlomo Achim, Lo Kara. Who doesn't he call? What? Which makes you think what?
They knew.
But they clearly did know. And they clearly were aware that this, keep this guy out. So Natan sees the handwriting on the wall, and he comes to Bathsheba and says, "Halo Shemat, ki malach Adoniyahu ben Chagis." Did you hear what happened? That Adoniyahu is trying to become king. But Adoninu David lo yada. David doesn't know. Why doesn't David know?
He's dead.
He's old.
With his little girl.
He's out of it. Right. Well. You say it that way, but it's possible that Adoniyahu, when he saw how weak his father was,
he took the opportunity
to take advantage. Right? No one's going to get in my way now. Let me give you a little piece of advice. Umalti et nafshech v'nefesh v'nech Shlomo. You can save your soul and the soul of your son Shlomo. Because what's the first thing Adoniyahu is going to do when he becomes king?
Kill Shlomo.
Why?
Okay.
Right, look at Radak. Look at source number 6. You're dead, Radak. Source number 6. Umalti et nafshech, you can save your life. Why?
Ki chashash.
He was afraid. She can be Melech Adoniyahu. Yamit acharei mod David v'sheva u'slomo. The first people of Daniel are going to get rid of our v'sheva u'slomo. Why? Kidei shelo yekei lo irur b'malchut. Because what's going to happen? Might not be today or tomorrow, but sooner or later someone's going to come along saying, hey, wrong guy. So in order to avoid that, what's the best way of preventing that from happening?
Yeah.
You bump off your competition, you have no problem at all? Okay. So let's go now, Jimon. Hold your redact here. We're going to go back. L'chi u'bo'i al ha'melech David, go to the elder King David. Ve'amayt elav. And say to him, hello, ata adoni ha'melech, nispata la'amatecha le'mur. You swore, Kishlomo v'nechi, chmloch acharai, v'u yesheva kishi. You swore to me that Shlomo, you are my son, would be your king. U'madu ha'melech adoni ha'melech, what the heck's going on? Why is Adoni Yahu in charge? Now, when did David swear that Shlomo would be the king? Do you have any record of that oath? So remember, we asked, why did he choose to name this kid Shlomo? All David knew was that the son named Shlomo would be the king. Why did he name Bathsheba's son Shlomo? Look at Radak. Unbelievable thing. Rav David Kimchi. Nishbat ba'amatecha. Yodea haya natan shenishbat la. Natan must have known that he swore. Why? Sheshama zemimena. Because she told him. Valama nishbat la. Why would he make that oath to her? Amru ki kishemet hayeled. Amar Bathsheba hayeled make me nehavon. When David and Bathsheba were together the first time in sin.
First time.
There was a child was born. What happened to that time?
Yeah.
Right. So Bathsheba said, this relationship is doomed. It started off in the sin. I don't care what happened afterwards. It's done. Afilu yiyeli mimech ben shel kayama. Even if I have a real son from him, what are you going to do? Yavozu oto achiv. Mimech shebati alecha be'avon mitchila. No matter, any child of ours, of mine, what's going to happen to him?
He's
going to be ridiculed and denigrated and doomed. So she says, I don't have anything to do with you. Ad shenishba la ki haben shiyela mimena rishona yimloch acharav. So in order to appease her and to assuage her, he swore to her that the son that's going to be from the first son that she'll have, he'll be the king. V'amalah ki api nivua ne'amar lozeh. And he said there that was a nevuah. So who chose Shlomo? He chose Shlomo.
Sorry.
It's all right. Very loud. In case you weren't awake, now you are.
Harriet's awake now, for sure.
Yeah. Poor Harriet, I'm sorry.
Wow. That was
okay. All right, $5 in the push count. Okay. That's the rule of the minion. If your cell phone goes off, $5.
Just tag out the board meeting.
Why? Is there a rule at the board meetings?
Yeah.
What is it? $5 in the first place? Okay. Okay. What if it buzzes? What if it's silent?
No.
Because Michael kept calling Gil's phone.
$5. Okay, fine.
Okay.
Okay. So David promised Bathsheba, before the son was born, your son will be the king. In order what? They shouldn't be stigmatized. But it comes out, it's very interesting. Very often, remember I spoke about the idea on Shabbos, those who are with us on Shabbos, that when do these Harabite soldiers and the Harabites place of the Beit HaMikdash? It stems from David's tshuva, from the repentance that he did for counting the people. Very often we find in Judaism that the reparation of the sin brings about a greater tikkun, and almost like an elevation of status. That really, David and Bathsheba, remember, were together in sin, but to repair that sin, who's born?
Shlomo.
Shlomo, who's going to do what? Build the Beit HaMikdash. It's a very powerful idea. You know, it comes up a lot. Who's the Kohen Gadol who brings about the atonement for all the Jewish people, who saves them time and time again in the desert? Aaron. What did Aaron do? Keep up the golden calf. Like the reparation of tshuva, of a sin, is more powerful than if you hadn't done it in the first place. It's a very, very powerful message. Okay, so now let me tell you what to do so that you don't get yourself killed. Yud Gimel, what time is it? How much time do I have?
I have just 9.
Oi! There is like no chance I'm going to finish the parrot today, is there?
In 1 minute?
I've only got like 40 seconds to go.
How many did you do?
13.
That's
it. Oh,
number.
Oh, yeah. And the rest of it goes quick because we already did all the topics. L'chi uvo hiel ha-melech David ha-amar te'elav halo atah adoni ha-melech nishbat lamatech le'mor kishlomo b'nechi mochach ha-rai b'hu yoshe ha-bachisi b'adu ha-melech adoniyahu. What the heck? You promised me. Why is Adoniyahu becoming king? And then... this is great. Hine odach min aberi im hamelech, shami melech, while you're talking to him, va'ani avo acharayich umaliti devarayich. I'll come in, and I'll fill in the words. So what do they do? Ba'kavo ba'sheva l'melech ha'chadara, v'amelech zaken ma'od. What does that tell you? He's very old. We know how old he is. He's 70. Very, what does that mean, he's very old?
He's very
old.
He's
very old.
Can't make a
decision. No, not decision, but he's old. You can see he's old. Avishag Ashunami Meshavat HaMelech, there's Avishag, he's serving the king. Vatikod, Batsheva, Vatishtach, HaMelech, Vanrum HaMelech, Malach. See, now the king says, what do you want? Vatomer lo Adoni, Atan Nishbata V'Hashem Elokecha Olam Atecha, Ki Shlomo V'Nechi Moch Achar Arayi V'Hu Yoshev. He said, hey, you promised that Shlomo, my son Shlomo, is going to be king. V'Ata, Hine Adoniyahu Malach, V'Ata Adoni HaMelech, Lo Yadata. I know you didn't know, I'm not commanding against you, but Adoniah is taking the reins. What's going on? You tell by Yisbach Shor Marie Bitzon Avro by Kralachol Bnei Amelach Ulev Yatara Kohen Liyavsa Atava. Right, he's getting the Kohen. He's got the general. Shlomo Avdecha Lo Kara. But my son is on the outs. Va'ata Adoniah Amelach Einei Kol Yisrael Alecha Lahagid Lahem Mi Yeshev Akishay Adoniah Amelach Acharav. You haven't designated a successor. You might know it's Shlomo, and I might know it's Shlomo, but they don't know it's Shlomo. Which has been a very interesting question. Why in the world, if there's a prophecy, why does David have to make any proclamations? What would have happened if David had said nothing?
Still would have. Still
more.
We don't know.
Or he would kill us. He would kill him. And then
some would be killed. So what do you do about a nevuah then? Then we got a prophecy. So how do you jive that with the fact that until David appoints Shlomo and makes him the king, that there's a possibility that he's not going to be the king? What do you do with a prophecy guarantee if you have to bring it about yourself? We'll continue with after that question. We'll continue with it next week.